Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good morning, everyone. It is nice to see a full house out there. Recently, some dear friends of ours experienced a personal tragedy. A family pet to which they were deeply attached died suddenly. It became ill, and they had to have the veterinarian put it down, put it to sleep. It really struck this family very hard. Well, our family could understand because we've had pets over the years, cats, dog, and we were close to them. And after their death, especially when it's sudden, it leaves a hole. Sometimes people in God's church find themselves struggling with this kind of a situation. And they ask, how should we really be feeling when somebody has a pet that dies? Is it wrong to grieve over that pet, almost like you would over a close friend, a person? Well, God's Word does offer us some clarity on this situation. We know that Jesus said, not so much as even a sparrow falls from the heavens without his Father's notice. We're told that a righteous man has high regard for his animals, and we're told that the farmer should not muzzle an ox as it treads out the grain. Well, those are just animals. Those are just farm animals, wild animals. And a lot of people will simply say, they're still just animals. Why get all worried and concerned? Because after all, man is made in God's image. We're told there is a spirit in man. The Bible nowhere tells us anything like that with regard to animals. But is there any passage in the Bible which can offer us any insight into the way God might feel about those animals that have become our pets and enjoy a special relationship with them? Well, it may surprise you to know the answer to that question is yes, there is a passage that we're going to examine today as we seek to address the question, is God concerned with our pets? Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, followed by verse 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 and 13. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Notice the closeness of the relationship here that Nathan is describing to King David. This lamb was a pet. It ate and drank and slept with the man and his children. Can't you imagine it playing with the children in the yard? We're told it was like a daughter to him. Continuing in verse 4, and a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and instead prepared it for the man who had come to him. Wow. Now right here is the logical place for David to step right up to the plate and say to Nathan, Oh, that foolish, foolish man. Why did he do that? Let his heart get all wrapped around this little lamb. I mean, it's an animal. That's all it is. And every time somebody gets his heart wrapped around a pet, oh, he's just asking for heartache later on because pet's going to die, neighbor's going to back over it with the car, something like that. Now, see if you were listening there, because I don't think that they were backing cars over pets back in that day. But the point is, all of these things can happen, and then you're just going to be all mopey and gloomy and sad. Is that what David said? Well, I gave you a clue there, because you knew that part wasn't in there about backing over the car. No, brethren, that's not what David said. Let's read it the way it's written. Verse 4. I'm sorry. We read verse 4. Verse 5. And as we read verses 5 and 6, we're going to see that David says and does four things in answer to Nathan. Verse 5. The first thing, then David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. Notice he did not say, oh, David was a little upset. David was miffed. David was mad. No. His anger was greatly aroused. David was enraged. He was furious. He was livid, as we'll see as we continue. The second thing, he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives. Notice that. David was here emphasizing the certainty, the validity of what he's about to say next. Notice, he did not say, as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. No. I mean, that's pretty sure. That's pretty certain. That's the way it's operated for thousands of years. Instead, he said, as sure as the Lord lives. Brethren, can you think of anything ever that is more certain than that? God lives. He always has. He always will. He told Moses, my name is I Am. He's the Eternal One. There is nothing more sure than this, more certain. And David used that to draw credence to the certainty of what he says next. David was serious. As sure as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And in verse 6, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Well, now, where'd that come from? Well, let's turn back. Hold your finger right here, because we're coming back right away. Exodus 22, verse 1. God said explicitly in Exodus 22, verse 1, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Right here, God has said, what is the penalty for stealing a sheep? Right here. And that's what David says right away here. He says he needs to restore that lamb fourfold. That's what God said. That's the judgment in a case like this. It's explicitly there, written in the word he gave to Moses. That's it. Right there, God explains it. That's what you do in a case like this. Steal a sheep, pay back four. David knew the law. You remember that other verse when God said the king, when he takes office, he's supposed to make a copy of the law, write it out in a book, and he's to read from it all his life. You think that King David did that? Well, brethren, think about the Psalms that David wrote. Oh, how love I thy law. No question about it. David knew God's law. And right here, he spouted it back to Nathan immediately. He didn't have to say, oh, Nathan, I think God said something about that. I'm going to have to look that up, though, to see how many sheep he's supposed to pay. No, he knew that. I'm emphasizing that simply because God's already said here, this is the answer. But David didn't stop there. He said something else. Remember I said there's four things here. We've covered three of them. What's the fourth? It's that part of verse 5 that I raced over. The very first words out of his mouth after he said, "As sure as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die." David was angry, and he said, that's what this man should pay. I mean, pay back the sheep, but it's not enough. He needs to pay with his life. Now stop and consider for just a moment. What's the first big story, the first big happening we read in the scriptures about David? I mean, what was the first big thing that he did that was claim to fame? I always think about David and Goliath. You remember? David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Who is he to do that?" And you remember, he didn't tremble. He marched right out there, and he told Goliath, "The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'm basically going to hand you your head on a platter." And that's the way it came down. That's the way it worked. What was the sentence for Goliath? Death. Death. And I don't think anybody ever argued. I mean, that was appropriate. But here, this is the same man. This is David. This is a little shepherd boy with the sling, remember? And right here he says, this man that slaughtered this little pet lamb, he deserves the same, death. David felt the same way. Continuing, verse 7. I mean, you know, David's he's unwound now. Verse 7, then Nathan said to Nathan, "David, you are the man." And then Nathan explained to him about all that God had given him, and yet here he had gone. He had had Uriah killed, he arranged his death, and he had taken his wife, Bathsheba. And brethren, this is an account that we usually read in the spring as we prepare for the Passover. Because what happened right after this? Well, this is where we're going to skip ahead here to verse 13. I think I told you we were going to read that. How did David respond to Nathan? Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And what was the result that came after that? David had deep repentance. He went out and he wrote Psalm 51. We review that every year before Passover. Heartfelt repentance on the part of King David. That's exactly what God wanted to happen. But today, we're not concerned about the underlying meaning here in the story. We're not concerned today about repentance, about confessing our sins. We're not concerned so much about that. Because remember, this sermonette is about pets and the way we should feel about them, the way that God might feel about them. You know, whenever you read a parable or a story, an account like that in the Bible, usually there's an underlying meaning behind it. Remember, Jesus used to say, well, here is the meaning of this parable with the sower or the tares or something like that. No, that's not our focus here. We want to look at the actual parable that God used to convey this underlying story to King David. You know, we go out to the store and we buy a loaf of bread. Why? Because we want to take the bread home and make toast or make a sandwich. What about the bread bag that it comes packaged inside? What do we do with that? Usually, we just throw it away. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, in the wintertime, we wore these boots to school. Mrs. Crisp would not let us go out on the playground in the snow unless we had our boots on. And we used to have these, I remember they were called buckle Arctics. Does anybody remember those? They were rubber boots. Yeah, there we go. You pulled on over top of your shoes. I remember the girls, they usually had ones, they'd remove their shoes first and just put their stocking feet right in. They were kind of lined and all that. But boys weren't like that. The problem was, the rubber soles wouldn't want to slide into the boot very well. Well, Mom knew how to get around that. She used to have us take bread bags, empty bread bags, and pull that on over top of my shoes just like a big plastic sock, and then it would slide down in the boot. Does anybody remember doing anything like that? Yeah. Okay, great. The bread wrapper, that was a use for that bag. But normally, we don't buy a loaf of bread just so that we can stock up on these plastic bags to use in the wintertime. No. Normally, we're not concerned about the wrapper. Today, we are. What we want to focus upon right now, right here, is the package that delivered the message to King David. And that's this parable that we spent all this time going through it, about the man's little lamb and how it was slaughtered. Why have we spent so much time on that? Well, today our focus is on that story because I think it can give us some real insight into our situation. David was enraged that the rich man lacked compassion and pity, and it triggered exactly the reaction God was looking for. How could Almighty God have known that David would react that way? How was it that God knew to inspire Nathan to tell a story like this, to create in David, in his heart, this kind of a reaction? Well, brethren, we are told in 1 Samuel 13:14 that in David, God had found a man after his own heart. Did you catch that? After God's own heart. Could it be that God might feel the same way? Well, perhaps this account can offer us just a little glimpse into God's heart as well as David's. So what's our moral of the story? Well, the next time we encounter a situation like this in which someone has lost a dear pet, before we just dismiss this person's grief thinking it's just an animal, perhaps it behooves us to recall this account and ask ourselves, how might God feel?